Hey, it's Lisa Carlin from Attacking Third to tell you about the all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe. It's equipped with everything you need to break free from the dull work week and embark on an adventurous weekend. The Hyundai Santa Fe features available all-wheel drive, standard third-row seating, plus available dual wireless charging pads, ensuring that you can take on any adventure. It's ski season, and with the all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe, I can easily load the car with all my gear plus my friends in the third row and make it right to the base of the slopes with all-wheel drive. Learn more about the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe at HyundaiUSA.com. Call 562-314-4603 for complete details.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Attacking Third, a CBS Sports Soccer podcast. I'm Sandra Herrera, lead NWSL writer for CBS Sports. Joined today, as always, with my colleague and co-host Lisa Roman, broadcaster and analyst for CBS Sports. On today's episode, we've got a preview of the United States Women's National Team versus New Zealand. Before we get into everything, a quick reminder to subscribe to us on YouTube. Give our videos a thumbs up. YouTube.com/attackingthird. You can get exclusive United States Women's National Team content, previews, recap, interviews, all right here on A3. Hello and good morning to everyone, especially if you're joining us in the chat. Lisa, it's official. It's 2023. We're doing a game preview. How you doing this morning, bud?
I don't think I could be any better because you just said it. It's 2023. We have a game preview. I love doing these shows with you, Sandra, every day, especially in the off season, because we get to be really creative with what we talk about. There's a lot of news, there's trades, there's fun things to jump on and talk about. But there is nothing I love more than doing game preview episodes and game recap episodes, especially with the United States Women's National Team, and especially during a World Cup year. There is nothing greater than this. People in our chat joining us live on YouTube, thanks so much for jumping up with us. Back-to-back days, we're going live early in the morning, saying, hey, it's the day. We are pumped for it. Me too. I am so ready for this day. It is here. It's finally here. This is like the first step to the World Cup for the United States Women's National Team. And it's the first look that we're going to see this year. It really is like, it makes everything real. It does, honestly. I'm so excited to be here. How are you, bud?
I'm great. I'm amped. I know you and I were chatting a little bit off mic before we hit live to join all the good people. I feel similarly, you know. I just sort of felt like I woke up, like even falling asleep last night in anticipation for today and waking up this morning, I was like, it feels so good to talk about and preview a soccer game. It feels like, for me, it felt like, okay, now it's 2023. Let's go. We're talking about, an actual match day type of energy. And, you know, it's not just the players or coaches, you know, we get amped for game day too. And it's a unique opportunity for us because we're getting to do this preview on the exact same scheduling of the match that's going to take place today. So in case you need a quick recap, the United States Women's National Team are in New Zealand for their January camps. They participated in a six-day training camp to conclude with a pair of friendlies. And their first match of this two-game series is tonight, Tuesday, January 17th. It's going to kick off at 10 p.m. Eastern time at Sky Stadium in Wellington, New Zealand. Let's talk a little bit about sort of the history of these two teams. Let's talk about the United States kicking off their 2023 in New Zealand. One of the things that we were looking at in the buildup to 2023 was, you know, after the draw, after we knew what group this team was going to be participating in for the 2023 World Cup, it maybe shifted things a little bit. So much of 2022 we saw was impacted by injury, players out navigating various rehabbing schedules, or players who were out even on maternity leave. And it also included a really big tournament like the CONCACAF W Championship, qualifying for the World Cup process. So the energy was very, very specific. It was about qualifying. It was making sure that they were going to the World Cup. And as we got towards the end of 2022, with that draw, with those friendlies against, you know, top 10 teams, or top ranked teams across the globe, it kind of shifted a little bit. It's different once you sort of know what the outlook is for your buildup to the World Cup. And something I think that's very cool that's come out of some of the media availabilities or some of the news around these January camps, particularly when that 24 player roster drop, was, you know, the information around this particular camp that, you know, they were actually targeting a January camp in New Zealand for several months now. And so now here it is coming to fruition. And I think when it comes to maybe kicking off your 2023, your march to the World Cup, I think this is a pretty good start for them.
I agree. I think it is. It's there's so much planning that goes into this. And so often, historically, the January camp for the United States women's national team has been domestic. And it has faced other competition. Last year, they didn't. It was all inter-squad competition that played against each other. But this year, this sounds so silly to say, but the United States women's national team is taking it so seriously in the fact that they are headed to New Zealand, right? They're playing in New Zealand for the very first time, because New Zealand is one of the co-hosts of the 2023 Women's World Cup. They're also playing at the exact stadium where they will play their second match of the group stage against the Netherlands. That's the match that's happening tonight in Wellington at Sky Stadium. So they are emulating as closely as they can to what it will be like during the World Cup. Of course, this is 6 months before that, 5 months before that. So the weather is completely different. It's summer right now in New Zealand, and it will be winter during the actual Women's World Cup, but they're staying at the same places that they will be staying during the group stage. Remember when that was announced, and as you talked about, the U.S. then had their competition of who they were going to play against. They also had the location of their matches during the group stage, and they are all in New Zealand. That's a huge positive for the U.S. They don't have to be traveling between Australia and New Zealand, just traveling around New Zealand. So where the women's national team is staying right now in New Zealand is where they will be staying throughout the World Cup group stage. They're playing at the similar stadium. They're understanding the culture, the time change, being there, everything. It's a huge advantage for them to get this experience. We also talked about when we did our World Cup rosters and this, how many people would be there, if FIFA is going to allow 26 players, what was going to happen? Is it going to be 23? Black Wananowski chose to go with 24 for this one. But I think that that's also kind of setting the tone for the World Cup. Don't bring 26 players to a friendly if you can only have 23 going into the World Cup. And frankly, I like that mindset of his. It's really tough to make this roster. And especially if you are players number 20 through 26, that cutoff is so incredibly close. And so he's having to make those tough decisions, Black Wananowski, about who to bring. And he's already doing that. But I think it's important to touch on the history of the U.S. and New Zealand, because they've played 19 times. But this is the very first time the U.S. is in New Zealand. Out of like 715 U.S. women's national team games in the history of U.S. women's national team, this is the first one in New Zealand. That's so special. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, it's not often when you look at the very long history of matches that this team has played, how many of them have taken place outside of of U.S. soil, but also like outside of those international tournaments. It's like, yes, they played outside of the United States because they played in World Cups or they played in Olympic Games. But when it comes to just some international friendlies, it's not too often in which we find that they played outside of the United States. Also, this is not a traditional like FIFA window, international window. Exactly. So like to see that these games are A, happening, but also B, outside of U.S. soil is something to know for sure. But I'm with you. I like that this essentially is something that could possibly mirror what they are going to go through during the World Cup. I think it's smart to have the training camps out there, perhaps to sort of get a feel, lay of the land, right? And then have not just one, but two games to sort of have a little bit of a quick turnaround to have that experience as well. The weather is going to be a little bit different for them in New Zealand when they go in July, right? Southern hemisphere. So when they go in July, it's actually going to be winter there versus the summer season that they're experiencing at the moment. But still, I think it was cool to see that this is happening for them. And I'm excited to see how things are going to pan out. So you mentioned the history a little bit, you know, with the United States between New Zealand. Yes, it's very cool that they're playing them in the host country, but we got to look at maybe the head-to-head a little bit and what we can anticipate perhaps going into these matches. New Zealand is a team, for lack of a better word, that has struggled against the United States. They do not have a ton of wins against them. When you're looking at the overall record between these two teams specifically, the United States have the better of the record between the two teams. Now, that's not to say that New Zealand doesn't put up, you know, doesn't present, you know, a good style of soccer when they go up against opposition. It's just when they've gone up against the United States, that just hasn't worked out for them. Their current ranking right now in FIFA is 24. So they're among the top 25 mm-hmm. teams currently ranked in the world. And not only are they the co-hosts for this upcoming World Cup, so they were an automatic lock to make an appearance as hosts, but they've had several World Cup appearances to this point. We're talking five overall, 91, 2007, 2011, 2015, and most recently in the 2019 World Cup as well. But they've never had a better finish other than just a group stage appearance. So when you're looking at, when you're talking about going up against the number one team in the world, sort of combining the experiences that they've had on the international stage, particularly against the U.S., we're talking 1-17-1 between these two teams. It's not great. So I can't help but also think a little bit about the more recent meetings between these two teams. We're going back in the memory bank here. If you don't want to hear about perhaps an ugly game, put us on mute now. But we were chatting about this when we were content planning. We were like, oh goodness, the last time they faced them was during the 2022 She Believes Cup, and it ended up being a 5-0 win for the United States. But it was in the manner in which that win came to life. We're talking multiple own goals, three of them all within that first half. Tough scene for sure.
Tough. Yeah, I mean, this game was tough, really bad for New Zealand, and they've been struggling most recently. Yeah, I like that you gave a shout to them, top 25 ranking, being number 24 in FIFA right now. But when you look at that game that happened just under a year ago, it was during the She Believes Cup in 2022. This was a game for the United States that maybe had a little bit of foreshadowing, right? Hindsight's always 20/20. But the United States opened this match against New Zealand in February during that She Believes Cup and was putting a lot of pressure on. They were whipping crosses into the box. They were putting New Zealand's defense under a lot of pressure. And that forced three own goals to open the match in the third minute, in the sixth minute, and in the 36th minute. So at this point, I remember watching this game. I think you and I were even texting about it at this point, Sandra, because we're at just over a half hour into this match for the She Believes Cup, USA versus New Zealand, and it's now 3-0 to the US, and the US has yet to score a goal. So half of me was happy. Hey, the US is winning. They're putting a lot of pressure on. They're getting shots off. We saw different kinds of lineups for Vlatko Andonovski. This is when we saw Purse starting up top with Sophia Smith and Katarina Macario, Christy Muez, and Ashley Sanchez in the midfield. There was a lot of potential with this group during this opening 30 minutes, opening 40 minutes. But the fact that they hadn't scored a goal themselves, they were all own goals, was something that concerned me a little bit. Not in the concerning way where I'm like, let's pull players, let's change things up a whole lot. But it's like, okay, you're putting pressure on and you're getting goals and you're getting results. But how much of that is the mistakes of your opposition, the mistakes of New Zealand, body positioning, tracking back, marking runners, poor goaltending, and how much of it is actually the work of the attackers? So that was something that was a little concerning to me, maybe at the halfway point of that last match, 3-0, and you're going into halftime, but your players have yet to score a goal. That changed in the second half. We had Ashley Hatch. She gets one around the 51st minute for the United States, makes it 4-0. And then Mallory Swanson, formerly Mallory Pugh, gets one in the stoppage time at the end of that game. So it ends up being 5-0 to the United States over the Football Ferns in that She Believes Cup. And they did get two goals. But I think that that match is probably fresh in these players' minds because we've got Ashley Hatch back on this roster for the United States. Yep. We've got Mitch Purse back on this roster for the United States, two players that saw significant time in that game. Purse got the start and then ended up subbing out, and Hatch came in and gets a goal. And likewise for the Football Ferns, New Zealand has to be remembering that match. They have got to be pissed off about that match. Right.
I think it's important to know that we're coming up on almost like a year removed from that previous game in She Believes Cup. And I think it's also, we should maybe touch on that a little bit too, like how over the course of this last year, some of the constant rotation that we've seen on the US, the USA side specifically, in terms of players who have been out in and out of the pool and in various camps with this national team. So, you know, to sort of map things out and see that even though we've been covering the US team on our side and we had question marks around this roster, like whether or not we were going to see an Ashley Hatch, if we were going to see the return of a Mitch Purse, you know, someone who we didn't see participate in those later friendlies in 2022, only to hit the reset button here in 2023 and look back on this She Believes Cup game that took place almost a year ago and see the impact that some of these players had within that mm-hmm. match then. Are they going to get the opportunity to do that once more nearly a year later against the same opposition? So I'm a little curious about it. You know, there's not going to be a Katarina Macario in this one.
No Sophia Smith.
You know, so there's certain things that I think are opportunities there for both sides of the pitch to maybe get some new challenges. But I think if you're the United States and you're looking at this pair of friendlies in front of you, if you're looking at the history of the oppositions in front of you, you know, if you're not coming out with a win, there's a possibility to have a layer of disappointment, right? Those champagne problems that always come with sort of covering this team and whether you're a player playing with this team.
I think it's also important to look at a little bit of the recent history of the U.S. team, because they went on a 3-game skid just 4 games ago. That was not that long ago. Remember, they closed out 2022 in Europe with matches against England and Spain. They end up dropping both of those, 2-1 against England, 2-0 against Spain, and then in November, they're hosting friendlies in the States against Germany. They dropped that first one. 2-1, Germany defeats the United States, and then USA gets back on track things. They end up winning 2-1 over that final match against Germany, that one in New Jersey at Red Bull Arena. So I think it's also really important to look at the history of just the United States as well. We're talking about the history of just New Zealand. They're also coming off of a bit of a skid themselves. They won a pair in September against Mexico and the Philippines. They won those pairs of friendlies. Then in October, they played against Japan, lost that one 2-0. Then New Zealand played against South Korea. That was at home. They didn't have to travel for that one. They lost 1-0 and then tied 1-1 against that. So this is a Football Ferns team that is
kind of streaky.
Yeah, there's not a lot of consistency there. And frankly, if you're the football Ferns, you're looking at the United States saying, hey, they had a bit of a not so great streak themselves. Yeah, they got that one win to end it. But I mean, if you're New Zealand, you're saying this is our time to strike.
Okay. So you're saying New Zealand's going to look at this as like a massive opportunity then.
I think you have to. A little bit of redemption. Yeah. You're now playing at home. I mean, the history between U.S. and New Zealand is tough for New Zealand. Yeah. As you said, 17-1-1. The lone loss that the Americans suffered was the very first meeting in 1987. Yeah. Yeah. So that long-term history is not as relevant. Also, the one draw coming between these two sides, that coming in 2013 in October, it was a 1-1 draw during a friendly. But most recently, it's been all wins for the U.S.
You know, I'm also just sort of looking at the impact individual players might have for New Zealand going into these type of matches. I mean, I think folks are going to be super familiar with Ali Riley, defender who represents Angel City FC. Probably going to be responsible with handling some things on the back line there for New Zealand. But there's a ton of players across New Zealand's roster who have ties to the U.S., whether it's specifically for NWSL or collegiate systems. So going to look forward to seeing those type of players if they get, you know, any minutes or if they get runs out there to go up against the United States, whether it's somebody like, Hannah Blake out of University of Michigan. You know, we've got, Ava Collins, a midfielder out of St. John's University. Rachel Daly also is St. John's alum. So I'm eager to see if any of these type of players, will make some appearances over the two games. And I think that's the other thing that's standing out for me, too. There's so much of this history between these two teams that are very much just sort of one-off type of matches, but this is a two-game series between these two teams. So I'm interested to see, yes, this first match tonight between the two of them, but what are those adjustments that they might make going into that second game, whether it's the United States or New Zealand. So I'm eager to cover these games as a pair of games with you and sort of see if we have some new and interesting things to talk about after this first game tonight. But we still have to run down some things in terms of the United States Women's National Team roster. We're going to talk a little bit more about maybe who we want to see in the lineup tonight specifically. So stay with us. We'll be right back after a quick break.
It's the UEFA Champions League on Paramount Plus. Europe's top club soccer tournament. Champions versus champions. The best teams facing off in the knockout rounds.
Magnificent!
And it all takes place
while you're filling out financial reports at work. In the middle of your day, in the middle of your week. So use that second screen. Call in sick. Do whatever you gotta do to tune in Tuesdays and Wednesdays. Nobody watches the UEFA Champions League like us. Stream every match live exclusively on Paramount Plus.
Chilling new original docuseries on Paramount Plus.
Why did he kill his family? The answer lies across the ocean and a woman named Sylvie.
She's a can model.
Where desire leads to deception.
I ended up spending $12,000 and $15,000 a day.
It was addictive.
I can't get you out.
And obsession leads to murder.
Who did this to your family?
You can't really maintain a fantasy forever.
Control Alt Desire. Now streaming on Paramount Plus.
All right, let's chat about the United States Women's National Team roster ahead of this first match tonight. Maybe let's run down things for the folks who are joining us for the first time. In case you've missed our roster reaction, in case you're joining us right now after the break, this is who the United States is running with. 24 players in New Zealand, goalkeepers, three goalkeepers on the roster, Adriana French, Casey Murphy, Alyssa Nayer for the goalkeepers. Defenders, Alana Cook, Crystal Dunn, Emily Fox, Naomi Girma, Sophia Huerta, Haley Mace, Becky Sauerbrunn, and Emily Sonnet. For midfielders, Sam Coffey, Lindsay Horan, Taylor Korniak, Rose Lavelle, Christy Mewis, Ashley Sanchez, and Andy Sullivan. And for the forward core, we've got Ashley Hatch, Alex Morgan, Mitch Purse, Trinity Rodman, Mallory Swanson, formerly Pugh, and Lynn Williams. Maybe let's talk about the main absences and the return here for some folks, Lisa. No Megan Rapinoe, No Sophia Smith for this round of friendlies. Both out navigating some injuries, which Andonowski touched on and said that they aren't deep, serious, concerning injuries. Just need a little bit more time to maybe get acclimated and recover from previous matches. But in light of their absences, we've seen the return of some other players. Emily Sonnet making her return to this roster, and Lynn Williams featuring once more on United States Women's National Team roster as well.
Yeah, both Sonnet, Emily Sonnet, defender, and forward Lynn Williams coming back from injury. So it's not that they were left out of the roster due to anything performance-wise or things like that. And same for Megan Rapinoe and Sophia Smith. They are not left out for performance. It's due to minor injuries that they're suffering right now. So why travel them to New Zealand? Vlach Wenonofsky said, hey, stay where you are with your team doctors, get training and rehabbing where you are. But I think the loss of Megan Rapinoe and Sophia Smith is significant. Maybe not for the competition on the pitch, but for the molding of this team, right? I mean, I imagine that Sophia Smith and Megan Rapinoe are going to the World Cup. Vlach Wenonofsky, I also think he thinks that they are going to the World Cup, barring any injuries or major absences. However, to not have them there as they make this trip and this first journey, it's definitely a bit of a loss. I mean, you think of Sophia Smith, she started the last game against New Zealand. She's been a very consistent starter for this women's national team, scoring the most goals last year for them at just 22 years old. This is a player that you want in and around the team as often as you can. And Megan Rapinoe brings that veteran leadership ability, the locker room presence that she has, the ability to have game management coming in the last 15 minutes of a game. I think those are big losses for this U.S. side, but we also have to think of the games and the gains, excuse me, and not like for like gains at all. Emily Sonnet, defender, coming in. She's now with OL Reign, traded during the WSL draft last week. Still getting used to saying that. And forward Lynn Williams, who is also now with Gotham, another trade that happened during the draft last week, but not like for like trades. Lynn Williams, another forward coming in, but very different than Sophia Smith and Megan Rapinoe. I think with Lynn Williams, I'm hoping that she gets a good run out of it. We did not see her during the NWSL end of the season. For KC, they went on a championship run, losing in the final to Portland Thorns. And Lynn Williams was warming up during that game, but she has yet to play a game in a significant amount of time. And you have to start incorporating her back into the roster, getting game minutes, getting game fit. So I'm hoping we see significant time from a player like Lynn Williams. Also back on this roster that has been out, a player like forward Ashley Hatch with Washington Spirit. She was in the CONCACAF W Championship, hurt her back, ended up leaving early from that championship. She's now back on this roster, as is Gotham forward Midge Purse, back on this roster after hitting a little bit of a decline in her performance, and that's why she wasn't called back in. But she is brought in along with Ashley Hatch to kind of round out 24 player roster. So Sandra, but for you, between, like, I'm going to say these new forwards coming in, right? Lynn Williams, Ashley Hatch, Midge Purse, which of those three do you want to see get significant minutes in this friendly?
Look, these are the first matches of 2023, and I would venture to say that these are maybe the pair of matches for some players to really continue to leave that impression with the coaching staff, because I would anticipate that the picture will become more clear and more clear, clearer and clearer down the stretch of these future international windows for the player pool to be narrowed down to who we're actually likely going to see named to that 2023 World Cup roster. So I wouldn't be surprised if maybe we see something similar within this front line that we saw in the She Believes Cup during 2022. I wouldn't mind seeing Midge Purse get another run out against a team like New Zealand. We also don't know what the minutes management might look like for a player like Lynn Williams. So when I'm looking at you're asking me about just the forward core here. So when I'm looking at that, do I want to see Lynn Williams get time against this New Zealand side? 100%, Absolutely. I'm just unclear of what that's going to look like. This is a player that hasn't played 90 minutes over the last, you know, year or so. So I would anticipate that there's perhaps going to be a little bit of just sort of working her way back in. What's that going to look like? Is it going to look like 15 minutes off of the bench? Is it going to be a half hour in the second half? Is it going to be a full 45-minute shift? I don't know. We'll see, but I will be surprised if it's a full 90. But I, again, I would like to see it. If she's capable and healthy and ready to go, I would like to see it. But I think you want to see where Purse is at. I think sort of looking at how her 2022 ended, tough season, I think, for her. I would hope that some of the offseason, you know, provided her some rest, relaxation, opportunity to rehab and perhaps nurse any lingering injuries that might have, you know, been affecting her over the course of 2022, because she's someone that I think could be a real asset to this team in their march to the World Cup. So while we saw an absence of Lynn Williams, you know, we got to see Sophia Smith go on this incredible 2022 run. We got to see Mallory Swanson continue her development, you know, back in the picture. And I'm just thinking back to that She Believes Cup, how Mal Pugh really started a similar journey, you know, back in with this team. You know, someone who had also been absent, you know, didn't go to the Olympics in Tokyo and sort of has had to work her way back into this roster as well. So I won't be surprised if we're going to see a combination of Swanson and Morgan to get the start. But who is going to be that opposite winger? Who is going to get that opportunity? And I just don't anticipate that it's going to be somebody like Hatch, just because of how she's been utilized before with this coaching staff. I really want to see Trinity Rodman get extended minutes time as well. I think it's that's it. Who are you going to run Trinity Rodman out against if not a team like New Zealand? This is a player that Andonowski has said before in the past that they want to get her acclimated to the team in certain steps. But at this point, I feel like she's been a part of enough national team camps. She's had enough experiences in that capacity, just being with the team, navigating senior women's national team responsibilities as a professional. Let's get her those minutes to match up with that. I want to see her get a run out against New Zealand.
I think Trinity Rodman deserves to get minutes. I'm right there alongside of you. She's got 10 caps, 2 goals with this senior national team. I think that she has been involved a lot and not reaped a lot of the rewards in terms of minutes. She really hasn't. She's been that reserve player coming in off the bench late in games. I think that she's been consistently in these camps and consistently performing. Otherwise, why would she be considered back in and continued back into it? I agree. I really want to see Trinity Rodman get a run, especially in the absence of Sophia Smith, right? This is a player that I think could make a difference. This is her time. Give her a chance. Give her a moment at this point. So for you and for me, I want to kind of run through some of our lineups and what we're thinking with this front line and starting wise. I think it's going to be Mallory Swanson up top. I think we are also going to see Alex Morgan. I'm not sure if Trinity Rodman's going to get the start. I think she deserves it, but I just don't know at this point. I really don't. I don't think Ashley Hatch would get the start either. I don't think Purse and Lynn Williams on minute restriction, maybe he could say start her. Like, that's the thing with minute restrictions. It's either you're going right after the warmups, so your body's warm and you're ready to go, or you're being reserved until the last 20 minutes. So I'm going to give it a toss up between Rodman and Williams for that third starting nod. But the formation of it is going to be a little interesting, I think, in terms of Morgan and Rodman. Like, I want Rodman out on the wing, but could Vlach Wenonowski throw her centrally?
No, we're talking about, look, we're not going to see it. Not at this point.
I know.
I don't, would I love to see some, you know, tactical or formational changes for this team in their buildup to this World Cup? Yeah. Of course, 100%. I think you and I specifically were already talking about that when this team was, you know, getting ready to go to Europe. what are we going to see against some of these other teams, the other teams who are considered favorites going into a World Cup? Are we going to see this team, this coaching staff specifically, present different game plans or different responsibilities to these players? And we didn't necessarily see that coming out of those final matches. We saw a snippet of it, perhaps, in that final game to snap that losing streak, where we finally saw Lindsey Horan allowed to kind of just be the eight and just sort of go out there and present some things, and it looked a little bit better. But we also have to remember that during that win in which they snapped that streak, Germany was missing Lena Oberdorf, so it opened up some things dramatically for the United States. You got to
let we not forget Lena Oberdorf was not there.
We just got to keep things in perspective. So while we can, you know, maybe try to throw around some and have some fun with the forward core, I think we also have to maybe take a look at this midfield and what we could see, you know, out there on the pitch against New Zealand, because I don't anticipate we're going to see this team move away from their 4-3-3.
I don't either. Yeah, I think that at this point, it's too late to be changing formations, and we would have already seen it. There's been plenty of opportunity for Vlach Wenonowski to try different things and throw it out there. I'm with you completely. It's going to be a 4-3-3 from now until through the World Cup, right? Barring any major changes or injuries or things that happen, we're going to see a 4-3-3 from Vlach Wenonowski. And I'm hoping that it's Rodman up top with Swanson and Morgan. I mean, I think that's what we can expect for tonight. And then for the second game, I mean, we'll talk about that when we get there, but I do still want to see Williams get in there. And I think we could see Peirce maybe get a nod at the start as well, as someone who's been working back into it. But yeah, I'm with you on a 4-3-3. And as you said, you don't think you're going to see a big rotation in the formation. I also don't think we're going to see that many shakeups in the midfield either, with the seven players that Vlach Wenonowski has called in Sam Coffey, Lindsey Horan, Taylor Korniak, Rose Lavelle, Christy Mewis, Ashley Sanchez, and Andy Sullivan. It's been Andy Sullivan, Lindsey Horan, and Rose Lavelle. I could see maybe a Sam Coffey instead of Andy Sullivan, and I would love to see that. I would love to see Sam Coffey get the start in the midfield alongside Rose and Lindsey Horan, but I don't know. I don't think we're going to see it. I could see him sticking with Andy Sullivan.
I mean, if we're talking about manifesting a start for Rodman or some good chunks of minutes for Williams, you know, why not do the same for somebody like a Sam Coffey? I think this is the opposition to do that. You know, I think if you're still in those small pockets of evaluation for specific players on this roster, mainly the younger ones, the ones who have had less time in the national senior women's national team program, that these are those matches to go ahead and do that. Because I would anticipate that on the horizon with the She Believes Cup coming up in 2023 in February, with opposition like Japan, Brazil, Canada, you're going to try to get looks for players who are likely going to be part of that World Cup roster. So I'm hopeful. Again, I could be just, you know, completely swinging for the stars here, but I'm hopeful that this pair of friendlies will provide opportunity to see those extended minutes for a player like Rodman, or even for somebody like a Sam Coffey, especially in light of, you know, recent comments from Andonovsky about the future of this midfield, no longer wanting to really touch on the very long and lingering knee injury for Sam Mewis.
Sad.
Not wanting to comment on that. I think, you know, you're putting enough out there to sort of say, like, don't ask me about this player. You know, Sam Mewis going on her own podcast saying that when she's ready, she'll talk about her injuries. So I think at that point, you just sort of have to perhaps try to piece two things together, and at the very least give the player her privacy as she continues to navigate her own personal questions about her career, and just look at this midfield core in front of you and try to, you know, if anywhere else positionally on this pitch, not the back line, perhaps not even your front line, it's maybe this middle third of the pitch where we need to see something by the coaching staff for these players moving forward.
Yeah, I think the touching on Sam Lewis and her injury, I completely agree. I mean, give the player privacy. Think of it from her perspective. This is her career. This is her passion. This is her job, and she can't do it. It's probably not that easy on her, but I think it's important to kind of reiterate what Vlad Kononovsky said, that it's a long-term injury. He didn't want to go into details. He didn't want to comment on the timeline or her possible return or anything like that. So you have to look at what's in front of you. And I think that getting consistency with these players, and not just consistency in minutes, but minutes on the pitch together, right? Playing alongside certain groups that he could see them with. And I think it kind of coupled along with the front line of this United States women's national team, right? If you're expecting to see Swanson and Morgan getting consistent minutes in that front line moving forward throughout the World Cup, who's going to be playing underneath them? I think it's really important to look at the 10. That's someone that feeds passes through, and between Lavelle and Horan, they've got a lot of experience playing with Swanson, Smith, and Morgan up top. But what about a player like Sam Coffey? Can we get her more minutes? Can we see how that rotation looks? What it looks like defensively when Rose Lavelle is in there and there is a wide open attack, perhaps like we're going to see against New Zealand, and Lavelle has the freedom to run, really push and stretch high. Do we see Horan sit a little deeper and play alongside Coffey, almost looking like a double six, but not so much, still pressed up higher? Or do we see Horan stretching and then it's the Andy Sullivan alone back there, or Sam Coffey alone as that number six sitting in front of the two center backs? I think those are the questions that Vlad Kononovsky and U.S. Women's National Team fans need to be looking at, how the fluidity of the midfield works against different opposition and with different players in there, because it's going to look different with Andy Sullivan and it's going to look different with Sam Coffey.
The double pivot. Will we ever see you?
I don't think we're going to see a real double pivot. I don't, but there are moments and times where I think against really strong attacking opposition, we will see what looks to be a double pivot in the defensive formation for the United States.
So for this first game, let's just maybe focus in on this one, because this is the preview for this match. When we're looking at three midfielders in this part of the pitch, do you see any breakaway from what we've already seen from Andonovsky and this coaching staff? Or is it going to just be Sullivan, Horan, Lavelle?
Yeah, I think it's going to be that, honestly. I would love to see Coffey in there instead of Sullivan for at least a start. But it's going to be Horan, Lavelle, and Sullivan.
I agree. I would hope that with the second game on the horizon and the quick turnaround of it all, and all of this sort of mirroring, you know, a group stage in a World Cup, that we'll see rotation and maybe we'll see Sam Coffey get extended minutes in a January camp window like this. But I think for this first game, I think you're running with the players that you've been running with at this point. And I think the same could be said perhaps for the defenders and the goalkeepers. Listen, I want, there's two games here. I want to start for Adriana French. I want to start for Casey Murphy. But there's also part of me that's like, listen, these are the first games of 2023. Are you really not going to start Alyssa Nair, your number one goalkeeper? So I'm interested in what we might see there in the goalkeeper position. Will we just see some of the non-number ones get full 90-minute games, or are we going to look at these 45-minute split shifts? I don't know. TBD. When we're looking at this defensive unit, the back line, listen, we've also seen a lot of usual suspects typically called in and tabbed with the start. We've seen Sofia Huerta get nabbed on that outside back role. We've seen some interesting things in the center back position. That is an area in which they've had to try some different things out in light of players kind of coming in and out with injury over the course of 2022. Becky Sauerbrunn was missing for that early phase of 2022. Abby Dahlkemper eventually making her exit, navigating injury and recently recovering from back surgery. But we've got to see the rise of Naomi Girma. Tierna Davidson not on this roster, close, but not enough for this New Zealand camp. When you're looking at that back line, who do you want to see out in this game tonight?
U.S. is also missing Kelly O'Hara at this point, dealing with a bit of an injury herself. So she's not listed in these eight defenders. But with the ones called in, Alana Cook, Crystal Dunn, Emily Fox, Naomi Girma, Sofia Huerta, Haley Mace, Becky Sauerbrunn, and Emily Sonnet, I think we're going to see a little bit of consistency here. I'm going to go with Fox, Girma, Cook, and Huerta across the back line. I didn't start Becky Sauerbrunn. I think that also with goalkeepers, I think we're going to see Alyssa Nair. I do. I would love to get a start for AD French and Casey Murphy, but I think if they're just splitting games, it'll be Alyssa Nair and AD French. Unfortunate for Casey Murphy, but hey, you never know. We'll see what happens. But with the four backs, the four defenders, I think Black Wedanovsky needs to give a chance for Girma and Cook to develop that relationship a little bit more. Yes, Tierna Davidson is on the verge of returning, but she's on the verge of returning to contact play, not gameplay. Like, she might still be a little bit far out. I'm hoping for, she believes she's at least getting minutes in those matches, but it's going to be minute restriction at that point. So I don't think you can bank on a player like Tierna Davidson coming back and being your starting center back for the World Cup. I don't at this point. I think you have to lean on someone like a Girma to be in that role consistently. And then between Sauerbrunn and Cook, I honestly think it's a bit of a toss-up. You know what you're going to get from Becky Sauerbrunn day in and day out, and you pair her alongside someone like a Girma. I love that partnership. They balance each other really, really well. Becky Sauerbrunn can break lines with her passes. Naomi Girma can also do that. Their 1v1 defending is phenomenal. It's a really nice balance. But you also have to look at someone like an Alana Cook that I think had ups and downs throughout 2022 and wasn't as consistent as you need your center back to be. But that's a natural progression for someone like Becky Sauerbrunn, who might be seeing fewer and fewer minutes as this team moves forward. So I'm thinking he starts there with Cook and Girma as the center backs, and then Emily Fox and Sofia Huerta outside.
Okay. You know, I think it's interesting to hear you say that, because I am very curious about where they're going to utilize and how they're going to utilize Crystal Dunn over the course of these two friendlies. You know, we really saw her bring it on in the end of 2022. She got back into national team camps with the national team right around September. But when it came to getting match minutes for club with Portland Thorns, she was definitely still building back to match day minutes. So we saw her in this sort of off the bench option capacity. And oh my God, like the impact that she had for that team down the stretch, scoring that game winner in their semifinal for the Thorns, punching their ticket through to the NWSL championship final, and then obviously lifting the championship with them out in DC. But again, only seeing these off the bench late in the game, second half minutes, just probably because she is herself still trying to get acclimated to being back in with the team. You know, she has said that she wants to work on that, ensure that her fitness is there, ensure that she can go 90 minutes. So I'm curious if over the course of these two games, taking a look at Crystal Dunn, because I would anticipate if she is at least at 45 minutes, if she's able to give you 45 minutes, that you give her 45 minutes somewhere in one of these two games. Now, I don't know if that's going to be at the start. I don't know if that's going to be at the second half to come on in.
I don't think we see her start.
I think we do see her get extended minutes in these two friendlies. I don't know if we get it
over someone like an Emily Fox.
100%. That's Crystal Dunn's position. I know that's like taboo to say, but that's her position. You know, we want to see different things for this team moving forward. We've talked about pushing up Crystal Dunn higher into that middle third, even along the front line if needed. But because of the coaching staff and the game plans that they have presented for this team moving forward, it hasn't shown or indicated to me that they are interested in utilizing Dunn in any of those positions. And I think if she is able to continue to work on getting her minutes up with this team, that we'll eventually see her back with this team getting those starts at that position.
So
there are certain players on this roster where there's going to be narrow windows for them to continue to leave a lasting impression on this coaching staff. And I think if you are somebody like an Emily Fox or a Haley Mace or even a Sofia Huerta, that you want to put in good shifts during over the course of these very early friendlies, because I think as Crystal Dunn continues to get back into form, someone is getting rotated out.
Yeah, I think I want to comment on that, because Crystal Dunn is, I agree, the left back of the last decade for this United States women's national team. And I think that Emily Fox has stepped in and played that role very well, very differently than Crystal Dunn, but very well over the last year and a half, 2 years for this women's national team. And Crystal Dunn has worked her ass off to come back. And we saw it with Portland Thorns, as you mentioned, scoring game-winning goals throughout the playoffs, being an incredible and influential part of that Portland Thorns NWSL championship run. However, I still have a little bit of a sour taste in my mouth when we saw Crystal Dunn with the U.S. women's national team against Germany, and she fell asleep on the back post, and Germany ended up scoring a goal against Dunn. She fell asleep. She didn't pick up her mark, and that was that. It was very obvious to see throughout the run of that play and on the replay of that goal for Germany. And that was something that was incredibly uncharacteristic of Crystal Dunn. I have never seen her do anything like that before. And because of that, I don't think we're going to see her get a start, just because of still working her way back. And a mistake like that in a World Cup year will cost you a World Cup. And I think that that's something that needs to be looked at incredibly carefully. Crystal Dunn deserves time to play. She deserves minutes. She deserves, I think you said 30 minutes. I am all for that. I don't think she's getting the start, though. I think that we will see her rotated in perhaps around the hour mark for someone like an Emily Fox in that outside left back position. With the consistency that Fox has shown over the last year or so, and playing alongside someone like Girma in that center back role, they've developed a bit of a partnership between those two as well. I think for Dunn, we'll see her. I don't think we'll see Dunn get starts, though. Not yet.
Fair enough. Let's close it out. Three players we absolutely want to see get time over the course of these two friendlies. I'm going to go with Adi French. I'm going to go with Crystal Dunn. I'm going to go with Lynn Williams. I want to see these three players back in the mix, getting extended minutes with this team against New Zealand. How about you, Lisa? Give me three players.
Oh, I love that. I am going to go with Sam Coffey. I really want Sam Coffey to get minutes. Lynn Williams and Trinity Rodman. Those are three that I want to get significant minutes. I think that they are going to help build this team onto the future and be that three-peat team in a World Cup year.
I love it. Let's hopefully see that for all six of these players that we just dropped. That's going to be a wrap here for us at A3. Remember, you can catch the United States women's national team versus New Zealand tonight, Tuesday, January 7th, kicking off at 10 p.m. Eastern. Shout out to HBO Max. You can catch the game on there, or you can catch it on Telemundo en Español. I know where I'll be watching. Thanks, everybody, for joining us today on Attacking Third. Download, follow, listen to us anywhere you get your podcast. You can watch us too. Please subscribe at youtube.com/attackingthird. You can like, follow, subscribe, leave us comments on the videos. We love to hear from you. For Sandra Herrera and Lisa Roman, this was Attacking Third.
This is Tony Kornheiser's show. I'm Tony. You expected someone else? So what exactly is the show about? I don't know. It's a sports show nominally. Football's over, but we're finally at a point where things matter in college basketball, and baseball season is on deck. Greatest three words in the English language, pitchers and catchers. We have some of the best voices come on and explain what matters or what makes an upset, like Ryan does, 9-8. No, that's not an upset. No, yeah, it is, Bob. And if you're lucky, I might just tell you about my search for discounted sleep pants or my worries about what my dog just ate. Listen on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.